Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I don't know that this qualifies as a big game. I guess it is a big game. The Patriots are 2-4, haven't lost to Buffalo in a while. Coming off their first three-game losing streak since 2002.
It's a long time, man.
Yes.
Almost 20 years.
Yes. And the Bills are 5-2. Obviously look like the team to beat in the AFC East. That's not saying much, but they are the top team in the AFC East. And there seems to be a little difference in kind of approaches. Cam Newton, Rob, is saying that for the Patriots, it's a must win, even though they're going to be without his two top receivers, Julian Edelman, who had a surprising knee surgery just a few days ago. He'll be back, you know, at some point. And then N'Keal Harry, the second-year receiver who they've expected a lot from, but has been banged up most of, or at least half of his career, it seems, and is banged up again. But there are reports, Rob, that everybody on the Patriots roster, or quote-unquote almost anyone, according to Monday Morning Quarterback's Albert Breer, could be had in a trade with the Patriots. So while Cam is like, this is a must win, it seems like the organization, if these reports are true, is like, hey, we're kind of mailing it in. I mean, it's hard to picture Belichick tanking, but is he all in? You know, if he's looking to trade guys, is he really all in? And I'm going to say it this way, Rob. I like both guys' approaches. I think Cam's got to be. Let's deal with Cam. He's got to feel like this is it for me. I've got to win. Because he's not only playing for the Patriots, he's playing for his career, I would say. And I think he's got to go out there, and if they don't win, he's got to play well. Like, they lost to Seattle, but he played well. This is what Cam has to do going forward, whether he's, you know, in New England long-term or elsewhere. So I like Cam's approach, even though, you know, it might be a bit unrealistic without his two top receivers.
That's why they call them upsets. They happen in sports. Sometimes, you know, guys step up. We saw the Packers win. Devontae Adams, right, was missing, Chris. And
yep.
Who was that kid? Lazar? Who was on the practice squad, who finally got out there.
Alan Lazard, yeah.
Right, and had a big game for the Packers, so this might be an opportunity for somebody. And Cam's approach is the only approach. They've lost. He hasn't played well the last 2 weeks. No touchdowns, 5 picks. It is a must-win. You know, I think he is absolutely saying the right thing. You can't worry about what the front office. And I don't think that that's any different from any team that's struggling now, right, this time of the year as we get closer to the midway point of the NFL season, right, and the trade deadline, Chris. So
So
everybody would be, you know, people are willing to make trades. We're seeing what the Cowboys are doing. They're releasing veterans, right? A couple other teams are making trades and moving on from people. So,
right.
So I think Cam can't concern himself with that. It's about going out. And right now, right here, if you beat Buffalo, right? If you beat Buffalo, yeah, you could take a different look at the season. They would be 3-4, right? And it would be another loss for Buffalo. They will be scuffling, Chris, right? Wouldn't Buffalo be scuffling? Because
they
have lost two of three,
lately.
Right? Yep. They haven't looked as great. So I'm with Cam all the way. You just got to go out there and play.
I love this quote he said. He was asked what he's learned during the losing streak. And here he is, Rob.
Losing is not acceptable in this locker room, in this county, in this state, in this area, in this region. So Cameron Newton, you need to pick your expletive up. That's what I've learned.
I love that, Rob. I love the humility in that. I love challenging yourself, looking in the mirror, you know, not blaming anybody or anything else. And I do think there maybe, we're not doctors, there hasn't been a report on this, but there may be a legitimate excuse or explanation for Cam because he did have COVID. Things were going well until he got COVID. And I said it on the show, the game, I can't remember what team it was they were playing. Rob G, tell me if you remember. But right after COVID, they came back. They hadn't practiced. They had like maybe one practice.
Right, because they got shut down.
Yeah, they looked horrible. They looked horrible. The Broncos, that was the Denver game. And
God knows Denver's terrible. I'm sorry.
Right. And I think, too, New England, number one, let's face it, they don't have a lot of talent. They got a lot of guys out. Even before the guys sat out for COVID, they didn't have a ton of talent.
Didn't they lose six starters or four starters?
Well, three starters, six guys.
Six people, right.
Yep, okay. Decided not to play. And we know Belichick puts in often a new game plan every week, right? It's specially made for the opponent. And so they maybe more than most teams need practice because it's not like they're going out there doing the same thing every week. So I thought they looked like a team that needed some practice. So maybe that's been the case with Cam. Maybe it's not. Maybe he's just doesn't have it or what have you. But I think he deserves a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because he was playing well. Obviously, he looked good in practice and training camp because they named him a captain. And so we'll see what he does. If the next 2-3 weeks he looks just as bad, then it is what it is. But I like the approach that he has from both of those quotes. And I'm not against the Patriots either, Rob. I get what they're thinking. I actually think it's smart. Like you said, if they win this week, maybe you rethink it, right? If Cam looks great, maybe you rethink it. But right now, you got to be right.
From this standpoint, not only did you win, you just won without your two best receivers. Do you know, you start to look Buffalo scuffling now. It ain't an automatic layup that they're going to win the division. I think that changes everything. If you were playing a different team, Chris, and Buffalo won, you know what I mean, and you just squeaked by beating some also-ran,
right?
You might not look at it that way. But if you beat Buffalo without your two best players – and Buffalo has now lost 3 out of 4, or whatever the number is, I think you can rethink it. I think that's legit.
Yeah, I agree. And if not, then I think, look, they're 2-4. Some people are thinking they're really going to struggle, win 3 games, 4 games, whatever. If they can get, there's 3 quarterbacks at this point that people think are really good. Obviously, you got Trevor Lawrence. You're going to have to be number one to get him. But you got Justin Fields from Ohio State. And you look at a Kyler Murray and some of, you know, what quarterbacks are doing now. And you have to be a little bit excited about him. And then you got the kid Trey Lance out of North Dakota State where Carson Wentz went. So if they get in position to get one of those guys and Cam doesn't look any better – then I certainly can't blame him for that because you obviously one thing we know is you need a competent quarterback in this league.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, we're always in the present, but also in the future. Heck, always in the past, too, with our GOAT conversations and everything. So we talk it all and friend of ours, Rob, I got me haven't talked to him in a while, but used to be a colleague at FS1. Now he's at The Athletic. Former NFL GM Mike Lombardi does a great column there about the NFL. But he wrote that he thinks, Rob, Trevor Lawrence should use his leverage to dictate which team drafts him. That's what he said. And he said that Lawrence is different from just the best quarterback in his draft class. Lawrence is a potential Hall of Famer. He said Lawrence is so good that as soon as he steps in the league, he's got the ability to change a team. And he said there's only five quarterbacks in the last 50 years who have met that criteria for him. Kind of interesting names. Terry Bradshaw, who, let's face it,
really?
Had trouble beating out Joe Gillum in Pittsburgh. If that Gillum was black, and Bradshaw was one of my favorite quarterbacks ever. I was a huge Steelers fan at that time. But had there not been the prejudice against black quarterbacks at that time,
he might Gillum have been the quarterback.
Right. I mean,
Absolutely.
Really, that's real. All right, John Elway, okay, Troy Aikman, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. And he throws Trevor Lawrence into there. Here's my thing, Rob. I don't care how good the quarterback is. He needs help. And I guess, is that what Lombardi's saying? He's not going to get help with the Jets? Well, if he puts what he should do, rather than use the pressure, your leverage to leave the Jets, you should use your leverage to tell them, look, get your house in order. You're 0-7. The players don't like the coach. Get your house in order. That's all I'm saying. And then they should get their house in order.
It's funny, when Tim Duncan went to the was drafted by the San Antonio Spurs, where were they, Chris? How good were
well,
they?
Well, remember they had David Robinson.
No,
Robinson,
I'm just asking,
they sat him out that year. They were good, though. They were bad that year because they kept Robinson out.
No, I understand that. When Larry Bird went to the Celtics, where were they?
I'm just 29 asking. Wins.
Okay, they were bad. I'm just... This whole thing of trying to manipulate. Well,
Cleveland was horrible when LeBron went there.
Just to try to manipulate everything and stack the deck in your favor. If that's what you want to do, knock yourself out. But it's not the kind of guy I would fall over to go get. I just wouldn't if he's so concerned that if it's not perfect. So what if you go get the perfect coach, Chris, or you go get the perfect general manager, or you go get – the perfect left tackle or whatever it is that you're looking for, top receiver, and that guy goes down or that guy gets traded or the coach has a heart attack or whatever it is. Now what? Now what? So you can try. I'm with you. It should be more about the Jets need to get their house in order, but this whole notion that you're above playing for a bad team, that's why you're the first overall pick.
Right.
That's why there's a draft. The draft is usually bad teams need the most help. So we flip the order. We don't allow the best player to go to the best team. Do you want to go to Kansas City and not play? Or go to Baltimore and not play?
Right.
This is mind-boggling to me.
Well, Rob,
I don't get it,
real.
Chris. I don't get it.
I mean, they were saying that about Joe Burrow, shouldn't go to the Bengals.
And he looks great.
He looks great. He looks like a future star, period. I know it's early, but he looks like he's got the goods. All right. Even Baker Mayfield had the guts to go to Cleveland. We're not saying he's going to be a star, but, you know, he went there. And the fact is, Rob, Indianapolis wasn't anything special.
No, that's another good
before
example.
Before Peyton Manning got there.
It wasn't.
Yeah, so I just think, look, like you said, use your leverage to make sure the Jets get their house in order, get a competent coach. But, you know, we could go on down the line, Rob. We mentioned it. New England wasn't anything special. We got a whole generation that's grown up, you know, thinking the Patriots are this incredible football franchise, which they have been the last 20 years.
But before that,
right, before Tom Brady, they weren't at all. And so, yeah, go to the Jets, turn them around, be great, and he won't regret it. You know that, Rob, in New York.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's go, Rob, stick with football. But Brett Favre came out today. Very controversial move by Brett. And he says that he is voting for Donald Trump. And He put it out on Twitter. He was trending. I'm sure he's probably still trending. But a lot of people didn't like it. Obviously, this is the most polarizing election in my lifetime.
Absolutely. And it's volatile. There's a lot of things you could say about this and how people feel. This is a moment in American history, Chris. It just is. And it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. But you have to pick a side. There's no, like, lukewarm. Would you agree with that? There's no lukewarm.
Well, I don't like either guy. So I'm lukewarm on these dudes.
No, but I'm talking
really
about...
I don't like either guy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about for the like, people on where they are as far as, you know, what this election means. I mean, this is two polar opposites of the direction of the country. That's what I'm saying. It's like... Right.
You had some strong feelings about this, and go ahead and share.
No, my biggest thing is I think that it's not to have someone pick somebody who's different from the party that you're attached to or the candidate that you like. I just think this is different. I really do. I think because of Trump's personality, and we're not going to get political about political beliefs, but I think there's something different. This isn't about Chris. Democrat and Republican. It just isn't. This is different. I can remember when George Bush was president. I'm talking about the son, not the daddy. And even when I talk about George W. Bush, the father, you know what stands out about his presidency, Chris? He was only a one-term president. But when he sent the special prosecutor in the Rodney King trial, remember when the cops beat Rodney King and it was on video?
Yep.
I remember that. And I remember that you know, the riots in L.A. and all that. And right. I never had a, it might not have been my political taste, but I didn't have a dislike. And I think that this is different. This is not Republican or Democrat. So the thing that's interesting to me here is when people find out, say if you were a Brett Favre fan or any kind of athlete on any side, because we've seen the pushback to LeBron, shut up and dribble. We don't care about your political views. We don't want to hear from you. Be quiet, blah, 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 blah. That's what they say. But when Brett Favre stands out there and says, look at me, or Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus or Jay
Lil
Cutler.
Wayne.
Who?
Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne or whatever. It's okay. It's okay for those guys. You think anybody, and I'm just going to say this in general, on the right-wing media network, no matter which one you listen to, Chris, anyone down Brett Favre for saying he's voting for Donald Trump?
Well, I can't imagine. The right-wing network, but the left-wing ones certainly are.
No, but I'm saying on the right-wing, but they're the ones who also bash the LeBron James is what I'm saying. Athletes shouldn't be a part of it. That's what I'm talking about.
I think that's a good point that you're making. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm just going to be honest. And you people who listen to this show know that I am a proponent of African-American athletes in particular speaking out and using their platform to fight for racial equality. I think we need that as African-American people because of the situation we're in. Those are our most beloved, most well-connected, wealthiest, most influential individuals in the country who are Black. So we do need, I wish they didn't have to, but we need them to. But I'm going to be honest. I like it when athletes speak out when I agree with them. And I'm going to keep it real, Rob. When I don't agree with them, like when I'm really passionate about something, if I'm iffy, if it's, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I don't like Biden either. So I'm not pressed about Brett Favre. You vote for who you want. I actually have friends. Some people are down ditching friends because of who they vote for. I'm not. I got friends, Black and white, voting for Trump. And I got friends, Black and white, voting for Biden. And I'm not feeling either guy. So I'm not pressed about it. But when I'm passionate about something, and if an athlete keeps beating it, every time he wins something or he's on camera, he's talking about it, it would bother me. I'm just going to be honest. Now, some people say, oh, that's not good. But that's how I feel.
No, be honest.
You know, and if, like I said, if I'm really against something and somebody keeps, you know, every time they're on, they're beating that drum, and every time I turn on the game, I got to see it, then I would get bothered by it. I haven't seen that often, but I'm just saying this. I'm just being honest that I would feel that way in a certain situation.
So if you idolize somebody, and a lot of people get their feelings hurt when they find out. That's why a lot of people suppress and hide. I won't spend my money on certain things. Like if I disagree with a person, you won't get my money. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I won't. That's just how I. You could do whatever you want. I'm not going to bash you, Chris, for your beliefs or what you want to do, but you just won't get my money. That's right. how I deal with it. I'm not trying to change you or tell you you shouldn't vote for somebody or whatnot, but I wonder if when it comes to athletes, and if you have a Brett Favre jersey, just imagine you have a Brett Favre jersey, you love them with the Packers, and now all of a sudden you hear this, and you're the big-time anti-Trump guy. Can the two exist, or do you take that jersey and say, I can't wear this anymore? Because there is that. I've heard that where people go like, dude, I'll never wear that jersey. I'll never buy another one of these guys' albums. I'll never watch his talk show again. You know what I mean? Ever.
I think, like you said it. If the guy is a big-time anti-Trump, then you probably would feel that way. You know, it really all depends on your level of passion about it.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I'm sure LeBron may have lost some fans over some of the stances he's taken.
Not you know he did. It's not even a guess. Come on.
Right.
There are people who hold it against him. But LeBron, and here's the other part, as athletes, I'm not against people. Athletes are people first, Chris. They're concerned citizens. They have a right to be involved in the political process. I disagree with people who don't think they do. They have families. They have kids. They have people that they care about. And there's no way that they should sit by the sidelines. An NFL or NBA owner can go and give millions and millions of dollars to these guys, right? Yep. And you're going to tell me that the NBA player has to be quiet because he could possibly influence people or bring something to I don't agree with that.
There's hypocrisy on both sides. Like you said, the right wing told LeBron,
shut up.
And
we don't want to hear about it, but they wouldn't tell Brett Favre that.
Exactly.
Because Brett Favre was giving them the message they want.
Who came out, you know, maybe a month or so ago. I can't remember who it was, but it was another athlete. I think he came out and said something pro Trump. And, you know, they didn't say anything. So they're right. But on the other hand, the other side's just as hypocritical. Because now you got some rappers coming out for Trump, 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, Kanye West, and now the left is jumping all over them like they don't want them. Who are they to say what? They're killing them. And I'm like, you telling them the same thing. Shut up and rap. Shut up and entertain us.
Yeah.
So I
haven't seen them tell people that they should shut up and rap.
They're getting destroyed on Twitter.
By who? By fans, you mean? I mean, I haven't seen
it. Fans, on Twitter putting videos and all that stuff. But here's what I said, and I said, I would be, like, if I was really staunchly against something and I saw an athlete just, you know, beating us over the head with it, I would get tired of it. But the one thing I would not do, Rob, is say he doesn't have the right to say what he wants to say. You know, shut up and play. I would never say that because you're absolutely right. I might disagree. I might turn off the TV, right? I might not like him anymore, but he does have a right to say what he wants to say.